Now, Jingwo introduced me as the curator of the common bean. I hope after this presentation that you realize they are not all that common. Okay, and also you're supposed to start off a presentation with a little joke to kind of get the audience's attention. We don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to tell you the world's shortest joke. Ready? Prisoner walks into a bar. No matter. Okay. All right, so why do we care about phenolics? Okay, they're antioxidants. They prevent chronic inflammation, cardiovascular diseases, cancer, diabetes. And what about heirlooms? This is a family possession passed down, handed down from generation to generation. As an adjective relating to a plant, it says it's a variety that's being cultivated again, which sort of thinks it skips a generation. I just think they're cool beans. All right. I'm just going to flash these up here so you can have a look. Look at these beauties. I got 120 of them. These are the ones I analyzed. And they have the coolest names. There's Painted Pony, Vermont Yellow Eye, Monticina, Mona Lisa. They're just, these are beauties. And that is all genetic. All right. So the first thing we looked at was the extractable phenolic compounds. These were extracted with methanol and water at a pH of 2 and acetone and water. And it's kind of a measure of the overall extractable, soluble antioxidant activity. All right? And this is kind of what it looked like. There was like a 30-fold difference in gallic acid equivalents amongst these beans. All right? Now, phenolic compounds impart flavor, flavonoids and color, so you'd think you can judge a book by its cover. No giggles, nothing over here. Right. However, yes, these were the ones that had the lowest amount. But look at this. Those beans look almost identical, and yet there's a threefold difference in antioxidant activity for the extractable phenolic compounds. Same with the red beans. There's like a fourfold difference here. All right. These were the highest. Look at number 2, California. It's a light brown bean. I mean, if you would ask anybody what bean you think has the highest phenolic acid compound, they would say, oh, black beans, for sure, or red beans. But you can see that there's even variation within blacks and reds. Here's just the 4 black beans I had. Almost identical, twofold differences in extractable phenolics. Non-extractable. These are polymers of flavonol units, hydrolyzable condensed tannins and proanthocyanidins associated with dietary fiber and protein. These are important because they reach your colon and they prevent colon cancer. All right, there's a look at the polymer. You cleave them with butanol hydrochloric acid, and they break down into anthocyanidins and xanthellium compounds. Measure them at 555 and 450, add them together, and boom, this is what you get again. Again, a huge difference in the non-extractable polyphenols. And again, the ones that had negligible amounts were kind of the white beans, but I mean, there's a lot there with color, too, that you would assume might have a little bit more. Okay, these are the highest. There's California again. The highest extractable and non-extractable polyphenols. I got to admit, when I first did this and I got the results, I thought I made a mistake. I went back and I rechecked everything again to make sure that I didn't screw up the envelopes. But no, that's what happened. And here, there's black nightfall, low extractable but high non-extractable. And then there's the top 2, Blue Jay and California, that were both high in extractable and non-extractable polyphenols. Okay, next came the bonded phenolics. These are associated with lignin and arabidin islands with glycosidic bonds. And we measured these with standards, catechin, chlorogenic acid, and quercetin. It's complicated, especially if you're doing it by absorbance. First thing you have to do is measure quercetin at 370. Then you measure the quercetin and chlorogenic acid at 320 and subtract the quercetin. Then you measure at 280 to get quercetin, chlorogenic acid, and catechin, and subtract the quercetin and chlorogenic acid. And the reason, okay, straightforward with the quercetin. And when I looked at these results, I said, oh, at last, Quercetin is orange. We got orange beans. They correlate with color until I look at the rest of them, and then they don't. Okay, once again, you can't judge a book by its cover. Next highest, even more. And chlorogenic acid, this is a colorless compound relatively, and these are the highest. Beaker brown, even China yellow. I couldn't believe that. Just incredible results here. Quercetin and chlorogenic acid, relatively straightforward. Put the standards in there, R squared of 0.995. Very easy. I got to the catechins, and I was having trouble getting the standards in. And when I went through the literature, they said, oh yeah, if it's got low catechins, you use one linear standard. If it's got high, you use it. Well, it turns out, thank God, the week before I bought this software called Sigma Plot something or other that had this thing called something about the regression wizard. I just put the data in and it came back and said, you idiot, it's a sigmoid curve. Boom. It gave me the equation. I plugged it in. There it was. Perfect fit. And there's the catechins. Anybody see anything wrong with this? We always measure in milligrams per 100 grams because that's kind of a serving of beans. 30,000 milligrams per 100 grams. Something's wrong here. That's 30% catechin. That can't be. Okay? So somewhere in here, something else is absorbing a 280 that's kind of screwing up the results. Even though, relatively speaking, they may actually be in kind of an order, but something else is in there that's kind of skewing the results. And before I left, I sent a bunch of these samples off for a mass spec analysis to see what else was in there. Didn't get the results back in time, but we shall see. All right, and there's the lowest. And protein was 18 to 28%. And, of course, no correlation of color and protein or even seed size. So I just say eat more beans. Any questions?
So the bioactivity of the non compound will stay the same or the change of the more
things. Oh yeah, oh you mean with cooking? Yeah. This is why when you cook the interesting story. I was telling somebody, boy, wouldn't these make a wonderful bean soup for kids? You know, all the different colors and patterns. Oh, wouldn't that be really cool? And someone said, do they maintain their color when you cook them? Oh, crap. So that's another experiment I have to do. I have to take a picture before and after you boil them and see how much is still in there and then look at the exudate and what's still in the bean. The good news is, last year I reported on something called the Nuña bean, the Peruvian popping bean. These remain intact. You don't boil them. So they just kind of pop and you eat the testa and the everything. And I did an analysis of both the popped and unpopped Nuña beans along with this analysis, and it's completely the same. Nothing changes. So we're hoping to develop that into America's new snack food, especially for kids. I share this information. As a matter of fact, I'm teamed up with a group in Washington. And Washington grows a lot of what you might call heirloom types. Okay, Carol? She's still in here? Yeah. It's this small batch kind of stuff to sell to folks. And I'm working with a company called Central Bean in Washington. They're helping me out quite a bit on some of this stuff. And they love these. And they actually grew them out and then requested some for me. Lundberg Family Farms, they did the same thing. In California. What I really, really want to do after these results that kind of blew my mind is now I'm going to take I think I have 100 and some black beans in the collection, 100 and some red beans. I want to look at the variation within these and give that information to the breeders and say, you know, you can breed for a higher phenolic content even within black beans. And I will be at the Bean Improvement Cooperative in Lansing, Michigan next month. And I'm always in touch with the breeders, so we'll get this information out.
Do you ever think about, like,
See, I don't have a lot of beans, but the food science department at Washington State University does do sensory evaluations. One thing I really, really want to do is we have 90 of those Nunya beans, and they just have all kinds of colors and patterns just like these. If I could get these in large enough amounts, we could do sensory evaluations. And I think that would be very, very important. Okay, you're also talking about some of these sugars. One thing I reported on last year, this Nunya bean, it's low in raffinose and stachyose, the gaseous oligosaccharides, and it's very high in sucrose. So that's why they taste better. And, you know, this is what I said, this would be a great snack food for kids. You know, we got 6 million children in this country who have difficulty learning because they go to school hungry. Can you imagine showing up, getting a little can of juice and a bag of these beans? I mean, that would start your day off right there. I have not seen any grown commercially. This is, it does, doesn't it? But, you know, the market classes in this country, dark red, light red kidney, navy bean, great northern, pinto, black bean, red bean, there's not a lot of this out there. That's why, you know, Central Bean is very interested. And, like, I wanted to make this, I mean, the people in Washington are very interested in these types of beans. We have a lot of small markets, you know, farmers markets and that sort of thing. And Central Bean actually just sells a lot of their, like, 100-pound bags of beans locally. So they would be very interested in these. And they haven't seen the results yet. So when I show them, maybe, so yes, I want that Blue Jay.
Did you find that the picture did not come from the germination?
With germination?
Boy,
not that I know of. I originally only got 50 seeds of these. So I planted them out in the field one year, just like half a dozen seeds, and harvested those again. That put the rest back in the collection. Oh, and Lundberg Family Farms wanted some, so I sent them a dozen, planted a few myself, and then kept the rest in the seed bank. And it didn't appear that there was any. Now, there may have been. Eventually, you might find things like disease resistance associated with the phenolic compounds, because that's their function in the plant, and I guess that's the function in humans too. It's disease resistance. So, no. To answer your question, I was just looking at the phenolic compounds for nutrition. Is that it? We are done. And I did do some correlation analyses just to make sure that there wasn't something else in there that was screwing up the results. But, I mean, these, the clariston, chlorogenic acid, all that, you saw that, you know, you measured those at the same frequencies, so that essentially were correlated. Nothing else was. Okay, there's no correlation there. I thought maybe because at 280 things, there are some proteins, tryptophan, that sort of thing, they absorb at that, but there's absolutely no correlation with protein in any of these things.